And we're going to start tonight, verse number 5, a passage of Scripture that I love and appreciate, Philippians chapter 4, and beginning with verse number 5. Take a moment and find that. And let's stand together, please, and honor the Word of God. Let's read 5, 6, and 7. You please join me on verse 6. That will be our Scripture reading for tonight. Verse 5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I want to speak to you tonight on A plus B plus C equals peace. A plus B plus C equals peace. Let's pray together. Now, Father, thank you so much for your book and what it teaches us. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts this evening. Lord, I pray that God's people will learn to live in a state of peace. Father, it is possible. You said it was. You gave us a great gift, a peace that passes all understanding. There is an equation, Lord, on how we can have it and enjoy it. While the world around us is losing its head, a lot of crazy things going on in the world today, I pray that God's people could just ride along, Jesus and me, all down the road of life. Give us a peace, God, in our hearts and our minds. And I pray that you'll help us in this message tonight. And Lord, teach us something from it. May we learn. We'll be grateful for it. In Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Keep your Bible open to this passage. We'll refer to some of these verses here. Verse number 7 is truly a remarkable promise. And folks, it is a promise. The Bible says, "The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So this promise concerns the peace of God. A peace, the Bible says, passes all understanding. This is beyond human comprehension. This is beyond natural understanding. This is beyond men's explanation. Listen up, girls. Right back here. Girls, Jesse, listen up. Beyond men's explanation. I have seen that peace of God exhibited in the lives of people, and there's absolutely no other way to put it. It is just beyond understanding. You can't describe it. You can't explain it beyond understanding. This peace of God, the Bible says, will keep our hearts and our minds. Keep. That word means to mount guard. It means to hem in and protect. And I like what it says there. Our hearts and our minds. That's that soul I was talking about this morning. That's way down on the inside where nobody else can go but you and God. Nobody can go in my soul but me and God. They way deep down there where I think and where I feel, where I make decisions in my mind and in my heart, the Bible says they can be kept by this peace that passes all understanding. Simply put, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to lose your mind over a difficult situation. You don't have to. You don't have to have a nervous breakdown with your emotions racing wildly out of control, developing ulcers. And I'm not throwing off on people who've had nervous breakdowns. I'm not making light of people that have had ulcers. But I believe with all of my heart, God has something for His people that the world cannot have. It's called peace. It's called peace. It's unexplainable. The psychiatrist can't explain it, so they either deny it or scoff at it. But it is real, and it is available to you and to me. I'm sure you realize the price, the lengths that people will go to in order to obtain peace of mind and heart. They spend thousands of dollars to have peace. But the truth of the matter is, real peace cannot be purchased. It is not found in a bottle or in an assortment of pills. And if you're on some medication tonight, I'm not making light of you. I understand people have to have medication. People have to be on blood pressure medicine. People have to be on some kind of heart medicine and some other types of medicines. And I'll tell you this, it always scares me When the doctor wants to put you on something to alter your mood, that scares me. Some of those drugs are highly addictive. Highly addictive. And when you get started on some of those things, brother, there's no coming back. So be careful about that. Be always cautious and careful. See, people will spend thousands of dollars trying to find peace. Real peace is found when you use the equation for peace that is found in the Bible. The equation for peace is in this passage. I mean peace. Now look, folks, I'm not talking about anxiety or worry that's caused by sin. If you have no peace tonight because of sin, there's not much you can do about that except for just to confess and forsake that sin. And believe you me, people who are in sin have no peace. You can read over there in the book of Hebrews where Jesus was first King of righteousness and then King of peace. And that's not an accident. Righteousness always precedes peace. Those who live holy are going to go a long way toward having the peace that this Bible is talking about right here. If you're bitter, if you're carrying a grudge, and your soul is all in torment because of that, I'm not talking about this equation is not going to apply to you. There's only one way to get that fixed, friend, and that's to get on your knees and get the Holy Spirit of God to just cleanse your heart of that bitterness. Chop it out. Get it out. Get it out of your heart and out of your life. You carry grudges. You carry bitterness. You're not going to have peace. You're going to go in torment for a long, long time. I've seen it. I know what I'm talking about. I have told people in the past who were carrying bitterness and unforgiveness in their spirit. I've said, you can move to the moon. You can move to the moon in search of peace. But you will not find it because the source of the unrest you're carrying inside your own self. Amen. I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm not talking about anxiety and worry. That's the result of a lack of poor judgment, the lack of uncontrolled spending. Those things are going to bring anxiety. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the kind of thing that comes into your life. You face something. It's huge. You're serving God. You're going along. And this humongous event, this humongous circumstance is just plopped down in your life, and it has the potential to cause you anxiety or nervousness or worry. Paul told the people in verse number 6, he said, be careful for nothing. And that word careful is that word anxious. You can't be all anxious and worried about anything, Paul said. He's talking about those situations that come along in life that would cause you anxiousness, make you so full of care that it distracts you from being what God wants us to be. Things like, for instance, when the doctor says that the lump is cancer. I'm talking about when the doctor says the lump is cancer. I'm talking about when you see them starting to hand out pink slips at work, or the word around the job is that there's going to be some layoffs and people are going to lose their jobs. And you hadn't been at work at that particular job very long. I'm talking about when the test results come back from the doctor's office and they're not good. I'm talking about when a loved one makes a bad decision and you can't do anything about it, but just watch it. You can't influence that decision. You can watch them make it. I'm talking about when a child, a grown child, outside of your home, under their own authority, they're becoming their own authority, stands at the crossroads of an important choice or decision. And man, the temptation to just be anxious, worry, presents itself. I'm talking about when you're living week to week and the weeks keep getting longer and longer and longer. I'm talking about when the call comes from home to tell you that your grandparent or your parent has gone to the hospital and the family needs to come. I'm talking about when they call and say the loved one has passed on in death. I'm talking about when you rush a child to the hospital, the emergency room, bent double over in pain, and you don't know what it is. And the doctors can't determine what it is immediately. There's no immediate answer. I'm talking about when the pregnancy tests keep coming back negative, and there's anxiousness and anxiety and worry. I'm talking about when you bury a child because of a premature death. All of these, folks, and I'm just scratching the surface. This is just scratching the surface. There are events and circumstances in life that have the potential to rob us of peace, rob us of joy, cause us anxiousness and nervousness and worry, creating an atmosphere in our own hearts and minds that's so heavy, it could break a person down. And I just believe, I'm sorry, I know some people are more given to nerves than others are. But I just believe God's people can get control of that thing. I believe with all of my heart. I believe God's people don't have to experience the uneasiness. You know, you see the gas prices creeping up. And I saw the headline the other day in the paper. Heat cost increased 90%. That's a lot, folks. That's a lot. That's a huge increase. And you start looking at items at the store that start going up in price because it costs more for the wholesaler to get it to the retailer. And you know, all these things in the world, you know, some people are just more given to worry and anxiousness than others. I understand that. I already said that. But God's people can live, the Bible says, with a peace that passes all understanding. And it can be yours. And you've got to believe it tonight. And I don't mean hypnotically. I don't mean pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. I mean believe it because it's in this book right here. I mean believe it because God is real. I mean believe it because God cares. I mean believe it because God says it's there, it's available, and you can have it. Believe it for that reason. Don't believe it by hypnosis and repeating it 1,000 times like a little train that thought he could. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. That's not how you get it. You go to the Bible and you see what God said would bring this peace that passes. See, if I plug in all these parts, the Bible says I can have that peace. I got to plug in all the parts. How do you get it? Well, first of all, verse number 6, the Bible says, be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. There's prayer. That's the first thing right there. There's your A. A plus B plus C equals peace. A is prayer. What is prayer, folks? Prayer is asking. In its basic form, prayer is asking. Now, there are all forms of prayer. But the basic form of prayer is asking. So when you're faced with a situation that begins to get your nerves shook up, when you begin to get a little bit out of control in your emotions, when your mind starts to run away with you, I mean run away from you, the first thing you do is you begin to pray. And you ask God, God, I need your help. God, I need your help. I want you to touch me. I want you to bless me. I want you to be with me. I want you to help me. I want you to be my comfort. I want you to be my presence. God, ask Him for help. That's the first thing. I'm not going to preach long on the first two. And then He says supplication. That's earnest pleading. That's where you get serious about it. That's where it's more than just done at the lunchtime, at lunch, at breakfast, lunch, and supper. That's where it's on your mind all day. That's where you get into a dark room somewhere, possibly, and close the door, and you let the tears fall down your cheeks, and you plead with God. And you're earnest about it. And you beg Him. And maybe you go without a meal and fast a little bit and try to get God's attention that way and ask God and plead with God. It's supplication. It's an earnestness, an intensity in your prayer life. Now, you begin immediately by asking for God's help. And then you plug in supplication, that earnest pleading if necessary. But then there might be somebody here tonight say, Pastor, I'm already doing that. I'm facing a situation that absolutely has my heart in despair. Absolutely has my nerves out of control. If I let myself go, I'm afraid I could have a nervous breakdown. Well, friend, you may be praying and you may be plugging in some supplication. The Bible does not say that A plus B equals peace. The Bible says that A plus B plus C equals peace. A is asking. B is supplication. C is thanksgiving. And that's the missing component. For a lot of God's people, when we face a situation that causes our hearts to fear and causes us to worry and be caught up in anxiety, we are quick to pray and we're pretty quick to have supplication. But how many of us ever think to plug in that third component of thankfulness? Because that's what God said. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. You know, God must be amused at us. We have our annual Thanksgiving Day celebration here in the States. And I'm afraid that in the world, it's almost overlooked now. I mean, you know, Halloween and then Christmas and Thanksgiving just gets lost in the middle somewhere. But I'm afraid even amongst God's people, you know, We spend a few moments on Thanksgiving Day, attempting to be thankful for God's blessings. And then when the day is over, we return to our routine and we've done our duty for another year. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Thanksgiving is not just an annual event. Amen. Oh, the life of a Christian especially. I'll tell you something else, too. A lot of times we are always quick to be thankful for the things that are good. We're thankful for the blessings. We're thankful for the victories. Oh, Lord, thank you. Got a raise at work. Oh, Lord, thank you. Got a good bill of health at the doctor, at the physical. Oh, Lord, thank you. Everything's, oh, Lord, thank you. We're always quick to be thankful when the sea is calm and the skies are blue and the wind is calm. We're always quick to be thankful at those times because, you know, we don't think that we're thankful for those times. But when we get in the difficult times, when the tough time comes, when the tragedy, when the circumstance turns a little bit negative, we immediately run to prayer. We immediately run to supplication. But we forget to add in that matter of thanksgiving. One reason I think we do is because we don't feel thankful. When you get a raise in pay, you feel thankful. When you get a clean bill of health at the physical, the doctor's office, you feel thankful. But Christians aren't supposed to live by feeling. Christians are supposed to live by principle and by faith and by truth. I am supposed to thank God, folks, because it's right. It's the principle. It's the correct thing to do. And if I will act on principle, if I will pray and practice supplication, and then even when I don't feel like it, plug in the component of thanksgiving. God said A plus B plus C equals peace. And I wonder tonight if C isn't the missing component. If it's hard to be thankful for the tragedy or the circumstance, the event that you're facing. You say, Pastor, what do you thank God for when you face something like that? When you face a situation that causes you to be anxious and worried, what are you saying? Thank you, Lord, for the earth. Thank you, Lord, for the trees. Thank you, Lord, for my food. Well, all those things are fine, friend. But I think there are some very specific things you can thank God for when you're facing a situation that will cause you anxiousness or worry. Number one, I think you can be thankful that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Now Romans 8:35 says that over there. I was going to turn. Let me just turn to it. And I've heard that passage of Scripture preached at so many denominational sermons, and they always apply it by saying, "Folks, hey, look what the Bible says. God could never send anybody to hell because the Bible says nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ." That's written to Christian people. That's written to saved people, and I love it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Verse 37, nay. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother, you pray and ask God, and then you practice supplication, and then you plug in the component of thanksgiving. God, I want to thank you that although I'm facing this, nothing can separate me from your love. How important is that, folks? Let me tell you how important that is. The fact that God loves you is vitally important. You know what that means? God will always do what's right. God will always do what's best, and God will always do what's good if He loves me. He'll always do what's best, right, and good. So I am glad, I am thankful that although this may be taking place in my life, if I can plug in some thankfulness, thankful that nothing can separate me from the love of God, nothing that will help me have that thankful spirit that I'm supposed to have in order to get peace. But I think there's something else a person can be thankful for. I think we can be thankful that although I might be having trouble, others are prospering. Now, that's pretty heavy duty right there. I need to learn to be thankful. That even though it's going backwards for me, it's going forward for some of the people that I love. By the way, there's a Bible example for this. Look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul lived what he taught here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, you've got an example here of the apostle who was thankful even though situationally it was not good for him. Other people were prospering and he was thankful for that. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 4. Here's what the apostle Paul said. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Paul said, in my affliction and in my distress, I was comforted because you were prospering. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Enough read. Paul said, even though I was going through affliction and distress, I was thankful you were not. I was thankful you were prospering. I was thankful you got a raise when my pay got cut. I was thankful that you got a clean bill of health when I got bad news. I was thankful that your kids were doing well when mine were facing crises. I was thankful that you were prospering in your Christian walk when I was hurting. That's big league. That takes some big Christianity. That's what Paul did. Paul plugged it in. Paul was able to be thankful that other people were prospering while he was in great difficulty. God, I need your help. I am facing this thing that has the potential to wreck my nerves, cause me anxiety. God, I desperately need your help. I'm going to supplicate and cry and weep before you. But along with my asking and along with my supplication, God, I want you to know that I am thankful. I am thankful brother so-and-so is enjoying this. And I am thankful sister so-and-so can enjoy this. And I am thankful brother so-and-so got a new car. And I am thankful his family is doing well. I am thankful, God, that you're choosing to bless some of the people I love. Then you know what? Now the Bible says, if you believe what God said, the Bible says that prayer and supplication with thanksgiving equals peace. That's your equation. That's what the Lord said. Not A plus B equals peace. Not A plus C or B plus C. But A plus B plus C. It's learning to plug in that third component there of thankfulness. I can be thankful that nothing can separate me from the love of God. I can be thankful that although I'm having difficulty, others are prospering. I can be thankful, number three, that God's promise is that His grace will be sufficient. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 10, you know the verse. God told Paul, my grace is, present tense, sufficient for thee. A friend, I've been in enough of these situations to know myself that when you let your mind run ahead in facing a difficult matter and place yourself in situations mentally that you're not living in yet, you're going to drive yourself crazy. You got to stay right where you are because God's grace is sufficient now. Right now. Well, what if and how come what and if and you can't get over there. God's grace is sufficient here. And as you travel through this thing, when you get over here, His grace will be sufficient here. But don't look for God's grace over there yet. Don't put yourself over there and look for God's grace because you're not there. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can be thankful that God's grace is sufficient for the day. I've used this illustration before. Let me use it again. And I don't know where I used it. I used it recently, I think, up at the college. But you remember my sister-in-law, Lisa, got cancer at a very early age in her life. This is years and years ago now. Got Hodgkin's disease. And I think they had just they just had Sarah the first time she got it. Just had the one girl. And she got on radiation. And the radiation killed the cancer. And pretty much they said it was gone. And they did the test, you know, on the blood. You folks that have been through that, you folks that know about that, they did the test on the blood. And they told her, said, Lisa, if you go 5 years without the cancer showing up in your blood, then we can safely say that it's in remission. And boy, the year passed, and there was no cancer cells. And the second year passed, and there was no cancer cells. And the third year, and the fourth year, and the fourth year, sixth month, and the fourth year, eighth month, and the fourth year, tenth month, the cancer came back. 2 months. They was a young couple. I remember, man, we were having one of the God Save America regionals we used to have with Brother Woodward's church. Remember that? I forget which one it was. One of the ones we hosted here. When the news came, she had to go to the hospital and had to go through chemotherapy. I think she had a surgery. And boy, I think God gave him a baby between that time, didn't he? Gave him Matthew between that time, right? And now here she was, and just now the second time around, cancer and chemotherapy and radiation again. And we went to Christmas in Atlanta that year, and all of us brothers came. She came and she wore a hat the whole time. We used to have a picture in our hallway of the family gathering at that Christmas. And Lisa was wearing a hat. Now, I wore a hat the whole time. Because she lost all of her hair. You know how it goes through chemo sometimes. And we were downstairs preparing for Christmas Day. I forget, she and I were putting presents around the tree or something early Christmas morning. And I made the statement to her. I said, Lisa was done with chemotherapy. And I said, well, I suppose, Lisa, that you're not going to miss that chemotherapy. And she said, oh, no, I'm not going to miss it. But she said, I am going to miss this. She said, you know, when I had that chemotherapy, there was a specific, special presence of God that was there every time. And I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss that. And I want to say something, friend. That's not just true about chemotherapy. That's true about anything. That's true when you're watching a child, a grown child, face a difficulty. That's true. God's grace will be sufficient today. Aren't you glad you just got to get through today? And then live tomorrow. And a whole new helping of God's grace again. And the next day, a whole new helping of God's grace. I can be thankful for that. God, I thank you that nothing can separate me from your love. God, I thank you that while I may be suffering, others are prospering. God, I thank you that your grace will be sufficient every day. And I think you can be thankful, number four, that regardless of the trouble, you can still have peace with God. You see, there's a difference. Romans 5:1 tells us there's a difference between the peace of God and peace with God. Peace with God comes when you get saved. And friend, even though you may be facing a situation that's going to rack, has the potential to rack your nerves and cause you all kinds of anxiety, if you'll learn to be thankful for these things. Lord, thank you that regardless of what happens, nothing can touch my salvation. Nothing. It's untouchable. I can have that peace with you. Are you going through a difficult time? Are you watching someone you love go through a difficult time? The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Worry's not going to help. I'll tell you what Lester Roloff said. Oh, he was strong. He said, worry is a form of infidelity. Unbelief. Don't worry, folks. We can have a peace absolutely passes all understanding because A plus B plus C equals peace. Somehow you've got to face it with a thankful spirit. Matthew Henry, some of you have his commentaries in your library. Matthew Henry was a great thinker. theologian, a devotional writer. I have his commentaries back there. He was robbed, beaten by some thieves. Took his money. And he went home and he wrote these words in his journal. He said, "Let me be thankful. Number one, I am thankful because I was never robbed before." He said, "Number two, I am thankful that although they took my money, they did not take my life." He said, "I am thankful, number three, because although they took my all, it was not much." And I love the fourth one the best of all. He said, "I am thankful, number four, that it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." That kind of stuff just makes me feel like that. That's how I am. I may not be that exaggerated, but that's how I feel. It's not that exaggerated. I don't get like a little child. Oh. What's it going to do to worry? Rob your sleep. Get your nerves all shot. The world's answer? Over to Walmart. On down to Walgreens. Get him another prescription. Pretty soon you're hooked on some mood-altering drug that's changing you. That's dangerous, folks. I got a promise. When I face a situation that causes me anxiety, I can have a peace that's unexplainable. If I'll pray and practice supplication. Thank you, Lord, for this trial. Thank you, God, for this tough time. For these reasons, I'm thankful. The Bible says you practice that. And peace. There's nothing like peace. There's nothing like peace. Eventually, live your day in peace. How God wants you to do it. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. I'm a little bit over time. Dear Father, I love these folks. I want to do everything in my power to help them. And the best thing I can do for them is bring them some lesson from Your Word and hopefully be a help to them. Best thing I can do is point them to Your book. I pray, dear God, that You'll help every person in this room. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to pray, practice supplication. Most of us do that. Help us to plug in that third component of supplement, of thanksgiving, because God, it equals peace. Thank you so much for your love. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask this question. Is there someone here tonight that would say, "Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me." Is there anybody like that? "I'm not sure that I'm saved." Would you raise your hand and we pray for you this evening? If you've been saved, never baptized in deep water, you need to follow the Lord and believe His baptism. How about a child of God? Prayer and supplication equals peace. No, is that what the Bible says? The Bible says prayer and supplication and thanksgiving equals peace. You can find a reason to be thankful. Plug it in and enjoy that peace. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Ladies, pray. Song of invitation. When you come tonight, far away the devil is my soul. Melody sweeter than song. Would you come? Would you come this evening? Thank you. faithfulness. The spirit of faithfulness makes a difference. Just for a moment. Ushers, do you have the papers from this morning? If you were out of the service, didn't